Now, in just a minute, we're going to read a very short passage of Scripture from Luke chapter 5. But before we do that, I want to describe, first I want to encourage you as we read the passage to use your imagination a little bit. I had a seminary professor who used to tell us to use our sanctified imagination when we read Scripture and to try to put ourselves into the story. And I want to encourage you to do that when we read from Luke 5 in a minute. But first I want to describe a disease to you. I know it's not a good season to do that, right? We've just come out of the season of COVID, but it's not COVID. So you can breathe a little easier there. In many parts of the world, this disease is known as the living death. It infects 750,000 people every year, 2,000 people a day. It's caused by a bacteria, not a virus. For some, if they catch it, they have little patches on their skin at first. For others, it numbs their nerves and actually destroys the nerves of the body, so gradually they can't feel things. As you might expect, when you can't feel pain, you end up hurting yourself. If you touch something hot, you pull away, right? But if you can't feel it, you get burned even worse. The disease can cause the loss of eyebrows. It causes the swelling of earlobes and lips. It causes your cartilage in your body to break down. Sometimes the blinking reflex is lost, so your eyes no longer get lubricated properly, and it leads to blindness. The muscles in your hands from this stiffen and curl, so eventually it makes them useless. It causes bones to slowly break down and lay, sort of leading to shortened and disfigured fingers and toes. It's a terrible disease, but thankfully it's completely curable. And yet in many parts of the world, it goes untreated until permanent damage has been done. Now, in Jesus' day, there were a number of diseases that were known by this name. Anybody tell me what that disease is? You probably know. Leprosy. Today, it's called Hansen's disease. Totally curable for us, but in Jesus' day, there was no cure. And it was feared worse than almost anything. Not only did people suffer incredibly physically, sometimes for years, but they were totally ostracized, pushed out of their community, their families, their loved ones. This is the life sentence that the individual was living with in our passage today. Before we read it, I'd like to pray, and let's ask God to open our eyes to hear what he has for us today. Lord, you are our God. We are here to worship you, to proclaim again your goodness and your glory, but we're also here desiring to hear from you, to be encouraged, to be challenged, maybe even to be rebuked. Lord, we know that we fall short, as we've already confessed, and we marvel that you have called us to be your people. And so, Father, we ask that by your Spirit you would speak to us again this morning. Give us what we need to hear. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So I invite you to open your Bible to Luke chapter 5. And as I read, imagine yourself being kind of on the sidelines of the story, watching this take place. Luke chapter 5. I'm going to start at verse 12. While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said. "Be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. Then Jesus ordered him, "Don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Yet the news about him spread all the more, so that the crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. It's as far as we're going to read, just this short passage from Scripture this morning. I am curious what kind of plans you have for the next few months. You know, maybe for the summer. Maybe for this week even, or even this afternoon, what are you hoping to do in this next little while? And what would it be like for you if I suddenly told you that all of your plans, all the things you hope to do, had to be canceled? Not just put on hold for a while, but canceled permanently. Not only were your plans canceled, but you have to leave the church. You have to leave everything you know, your job, your family, your home. And you have to go and move to the outskirts of the city, maybe somewhere in a bush just past Sherwood Park. Maybe a small community of lepers that are gathered there. And you are never to come into Edmonton again. You're never to come back to your family, to your home. No reunions, nothing. You always had to wear torn clothes, not those cool torn cut kind that the young people wear, right? The clothes that were just in shreds that people knew there something was wrong. And whenever someone came near you, you had to yell, "I'm a leper. Stay away. Don't come close. I'm unclean." And that's it. For the rest of your life, that is how you had to live. Not even your family or friends were ever allowed to come close to you again. And keep in mind, in Jesus' day, there was no Skype, no FaceTime, no cell phones, no way to stay in contact. You were simply condemned to die a slow, agonizing, and lonely death, far from everyone that you loved, utterly rejected. That's what happened to this man. I wonder how it started. Maybe a small patch on his skin or a little bit of numbness in his fingers, and he probably didn't think anything of it at first. But then it didn't go away, and eventually he had to go to see the priest. That's what they did, and the priest gave him his life sentence, leprosy. And he lost it all, just like that. It's very likely he never went to his home again. Maybe once just to gather a couple of things, but he certainly had never been touched again. It was against the law to touch someone who was unclean, but in the case of leprosy, that law was really not needed because no one would dare touch someone with that disease. They were terrified of catching it. There had been no hugs goodbye, no comforting hand on the shoulder. Who knows how many years it had been since anybody had touched him. And to add to all that suffering, the culture of that day thought that God had rejected him as well. He was considered cursed. They weren't allowed to go anywhere near the temple or any house of worship. They had to stay far away. Listen to these words from Leviticus 13. "The person with such an infectious disease must wear torn clothes, let his hair be unkempt, cover the lower part of his face, and cry out, 'Unclean, unclean.' As long as he has the infection, he remains unclean. He must live alone. He must live outside the camp." Now, that law was there to prevent the spread of diseases like leprosy. But can you imagine for a moment what it must have been like for someone with that disease? Rejected, sent away from everyone you loved, treated as if you were something detestable and horrific. It really must have been a living hell for people who had that disease. They hadn't died, but they likely wished they had. I want to jump to today for a minute. I don't think there's anyone with leprosy that I know of in Edmonton. And if it is, it's not a concern. As I said, it's totally curable. But who are the lepers in our society today? Who are the people who've been pushed away, or isolated, forgotten? People who have been told in various ways that they don't belong. People have been shunned by society, maybe even by the church. I think sometimes in our world today, those who are disabled kind of feel pushed off to the outside, that they don't belong. Maybe people who find themselves unemployed or struggling in poverty, feel like they don't really fit. People who've gone through a divorce often feel that way, especially initially. Maybe people struggling with certain addictions or sins that they can't quite overcome feel like they don't belong. They can't really let people know who they are, or they'd be pushed aside. Maybe people with serious illnesses or those struggling with depression. Maybe recent immigrants or the elderly at times feel forgotten. People with certain sexual orientations. People convicted of a crime. People find it hard to break the labels that they've been given. Who are the lepers among us? Chances are we don't even notice them because we're so caught up in our own lives often we don't even see the people who are kind of on the outside, on the outskirts. We don't recognize those who are hurting. Thankfully, we have a God who knows. He sees, he understands. He knows those that sometimes we don't even see. God knows how many live these quiet, lonely lives, you know, afraid to let anybody in because of the rejection they've maybe felt over and over and over again. And I'm curious if some of you this morning can resonate a little bit with this leper and this isolation and rejection that he must have felt. He had lived with this disease for a long time. Luke tells us that he was covered with leprosy. He's likely very disfigured. He was probably hideous to look at. Likely had difficulty walking, his skin covered with scars and sores. I'm sure that he avoided people. You know, the law told him he had to avoid people, but he probably hated the reactions he got every time he got close to anyone, as people screamed and fled. But somehow he hears about Jesus. We don't know exactly how that happened, but he hears about this one who can even heal. And he dares to defy the law and he goes searching for Jesus. Now, imagine what that must have been like for him. He couldn't Google, where is Jesus today? How would he do it? He would have to go and talk to someone, right? Have you heard of Jesus? Have you seen him? Do you know where he is? What happens when he approaches someone? Leper! Unclean! How many times did he have to go and experience that over and over before finally someone listened and said, I think he's in that town over there. How many times was he rejected? How many times did he have to hear that before he finally got to the place where Jesus was? But somehow, he keeps going. He doesn't give up. He's heard that Jesus is not like the other religious leaders who've ostracized him. Jesus is willing to associate with those who've been pushed away, even lepers. And he's heard that he can heal, and he dares to believe it. It was probably just a thin hope, but that's all he had, and so he went, hoping desperately for a miracle. Maybe hoping just as much that Jesus at least wouldn't push him away like everybody else had. I'm guessing many of you here today have heard of the author Max Lucado. He has a gift of telling stories and in a way that allows us to kind of enter into the stories of the Bible. I want to read a portion of a story that Max Lucado wrote about this leper. And it's telling the story through his eyes. And he begins with him hiding behind a large rock, avoiding the crowds as he must have done. It says, I waited until he was just paces from me, and I stepped out. Master, Master. He stopped and looked in my direction, as did dozens of others. A flood of fear swept across the crowd. People's arms flew in front of their faces. Children ducked behind their parents. Unclean, someone yelled. I don't blame them. I was a huddled mass of death. But I scarcely heard them. I scarcely saw them. I had seen the panic 1,000 times. His compassion, however, I had never seen before. Everyone stepped back except for him. He stepped toward me. Toward me. 5 years ago, my wife stepped toward me. She was the last one to do so. Now he did. I did not move. I just spoke. Lord, if you are willing, you can heal me. Had he healed me with a word, I would have been thrilled. Had he cured me with a prayer, I would have rejoiced. But he wasn't satisfied with speaking to me. He drew near me. He touched me. 5 years ago, my wife had touched me. No one had touched me since until today. I am willing, he said, so close that he had to whisper, be healed. Energy flooded my body like water through a furrowed field. In an instant, in a moment, I felt warmth where there had just been numbness. I felt strength where there had been atrophy. My back straightened and my head lifted. Where I had been eye level with his belt, I now stood eye level with his smiling face. He cupped his hands on my cheeks and drew me so near I could feel the warmth of his breath and see the wetness in his eyes. He smiled. Don't tell anyone about this. Go and show yourself to the priests and offer the gift that Moses commanded for people who are made well, This will show people what I have done. So that is where I am going. I will show myself to my priest and I will embrace him. I will show myself to my wife and I will embrace her. I will pick up my daughter. She's older now, but I will pick her up and I will embrace her. I will never forget the one who dared to touch me. He could have healed me with a word, but he wanted to do more than heal me. He wanted to honor me, to validate me, to christen me. Imagine that, unworthy of the touch of man, and yet worthy of the touch of God. I love the way Lucado puts that. I love that last line, unworthy of the touch of man, but worthy of the touch of God. Jesus' response to this leper is absolutely amazing and wonderful. As I said, everybody else is running away from him, terrified. Jesus comes toward him. He reaches out and does the unimaginable and touches him. Jesus sees this man who's been so utterly rejected by everyone. And with one touch, he shows that he's accepted. With that gracious touch, I think Jesus probably healed a part of his heart that maybe was more broken even than his leprosy. And Jesus said those words that must have seemed absolutely beyond belief. I am willing, be clean. And immediately, it says, the leprosy left him and he was whole, restored, given his life back. It's easy to read a story like this and just see Jesus healing a man, just like so many other miracles in the scriptures. But I really believe the beauty in this story isn't just in the healing, it's in this incredible touch of Jesus. A touch is so amazing in that context. Nobody would have ever touched him. As Lucado said, no one had probably touched him in years. And yet Jesus reaches through all the barriers of his culture, all the inhibitions, all the blocks, breaks through the fear and the shame and touches the untouchable. And with that touch, something absolutely incredible happens and the man is made whole, restored. We're here in this season of our church, right, between Easter and Pentecost, and we know and believe that our Savior lives. I want to ask you, do you believe that the risen Jesus still reaches out and touches us today? We know the right answer to that question, right? Of course he does. But do we really believe it? That he reaches out and touches us in the parts of us that are broken and weary and just unclean, and that he cleanses us. I suspect that many of us are here this morning because in some way or other we know that touch of Jesus. Through the Spirit he came to us maybe when we least deserved it. And he reached out and he touched us and cleansed us and called us his own. And we know the wonder of a God who knows our brokenness, our shame, our guilt, and who cleanses us from it. And we worship him. That's why we're here. We want to worship him for what he's done, and we want to know him even more. Well, this man certainly knew that love and grace in an unbelievable way. To go from where he was to where God made him through Christ, touched and cleansed, given his life back. And maybe you're here this morning and you hear this story, and deep down in your heart you know that you long for that touch, because there's parts of you that need it desperately. And you want to believe that he can do that for you too. But it's hard because you've been carrying some burden with you maybe for years. Some piece of you that maybe no one else even knows except for God. And you so long for him to reach out and touch you. Maybe you have felt rejected or ashamed or guilty. Maybe it's some sickness or brokenness in your life, an addiction. I want to encourage you to keep seeking, to think of that man and how many times he was rejected before he finally got to Jesus, and to keep asking him to come and to touch you and to heal you. It's actually what Jesus came to do. If you look back one chapter in the Gospel of Luke, in Luke 4, Jesus is in a synagogue and he takes the scroll of Isaiah and he reads this. a passage that summarizes his mission. I'm not going to read it all, I'll just say it. It talks about how he came to open the eyes of the blind, to heal the sick, to set the captives free. That's what Jesus came to do, not just then, but now as well. He still does it today. It's what he did for the leper, and in various ways, it's what he's done for many of us here today who've put our faith in him. Now, I know there's no guarantee that we can be physically healed, right? There's no guarantee that we say a certain prayer and all the struggles in life are just gone. I wish it was that simple. But Jesus does touch and heal in so many different ways. So if you long for that, I just beg you to keep seeking him, to keep asking him, to keep coming to him. Now, I know that probably many of us here this morning, if you're like me, were raised in the church. Maybe you don't even remember a time when you didn't know about God's love and grace. It's always been a part of your life, and what an incredible gift that is. Maybe sometimes we take that for granted. I know I do. Imagine for a minute what it must have been like for that man that day. Wouldn't you love to have been able to watch him? Maybe to follow him as he went to the priest, follow him as he went to his family, just to see the joy and the wonder and the rejoicing that he must have experienced. I think sometimes we forget that we too have been touched by Christ. We too have been shown that incredible mercy and grace. We too are right to rejoice. Our story may not be nearly as dramatic as his, and that's probably a good thing. But we too have been touched by God's love and grace. We were sinners, lost, hopeless, dying, and we've been given life through our Savior. Now, part of that wonder of that grace and that joy is that now we want to live for him. We want to be part of his mission to the world, right? The Bible tells us that we are the body of Christ. We're his hands and his feet. His mission is now ours. His Spirit dwells within us. We're to take that love and grace that we've been shown and extend it to others. To go to the broken people and places in our world and reach out and touch people with his love and grace, even the untouchable. Now, I wish that I could tell you, go out from here and everyone you touch is going to be healed. But often it's something different than a physical healing. It's something much deeper. You know, maybe what many people need is just someone to reach out in their lives and touch them with love and grace and friendship and acceptance. And that's something we can all do. And I think of the Holy Spirit working in us, he can do immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine. And maybe it starts with something totally simple, just a smile. You know, someone in your class that's kind of on the outside saying hello. You know, inviting them in to be a friend. I want to share a story about somebody who took this call of God to go and reach out and touch the untouchable very seriously. His name was Father Damien. Some of you may know his story. As a young man, he heard God's call to serve him as a missionary. And he asked to be allowed to go join a missionary team that was going to serve in Hawaii, of all places. How many of you have heard the call to Hawaii? It's not exactly where God led me. It wasn't exactly a tourist destination in 1864, though, when he got this call. He went. When he arrived there, there was a health crisis going on. Foreign diseases were running rampant through the local people, much like smallpox went through the First Nations people in North America. And one of those diseases that was spreading rapidly was leprosy. And just like in Jesus' day, at that time, there was no cure. And so to contain the spread, the government passed a law that all lepers were forced to go to live on this one spot on the island of Molokai, this isolated peninsula. They put them in a little leper's colony, just like they did in Jesus' day. And the government provided them with some food and supplies, but it was a place of incredible suffering, as you can imagine. The local bishop knew that that community needed someone to minister to them. But he couldn't get himself to send anybody there because he knew it was basically a death sentence. And so he brought this need to the priests, and And Father Damien volunteered to go and to live with and to serve these people in Molokai. And so in 1873, in May 10th, he arrived at this settlement and met the 817 lepers living there. And for the rest of his life, he basically followed Jesus' example to reach out and touch the untouchables. He built homes, built a church, a school. He cleansed wounds. He made coffins. He dug graves. He did funerals. He wrote to his brother in Europe. He said, "I make myself a leper with the lepers to gain all to Jesus Christ." Well, after serving for 11 years, he accidentally spilled some boiling water on his foot and badly burned it. But he didn't feel anything. And he realized he had caught leprosy himself. I read that he usually started his Sunday services with the words, "my friends," but that next Sunday, apparently, he used the words, "my brothers," because he had become one of them. Well, he continued to serve and plan and build as much as he could despite his disease, doing all he could for the good of the community, planning for things after he was gone. And 4.5 years later, after serving there for 15 years, he died of leprosy. It would be a much nicer story if I could say that Jesus healed him and he served there till the end of his days. And yet he's an example of one who followed God's call to reach out and to extend love in this incredibly practical way to people who needed it, to touch the untouchable. He's an example of one who chose to serve those his society had utterly rejected. He was willing to lose his life if only God would use him to touch others for Jesus. We read about that attitude in Acts chapter 20. Paul summarizes that same way of seeing life like this. "I consider my life worth nothing to me, if only I may finish the race and complete the task my Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace." Paul had that same attitude. You know, considered his life worth nothing if he could just reach out and touch people for Jesus. We hear stories of people like this Father Damien. We hear stories of many others and we're inspired. But sometimes it doesn't really seem like it connects to our lives right here. It seems like that's in a different time and a different place. How does it connect to us here in Edmonton or in Rocky? And we may have never been asked to serve sacrificially in that kind of a way. Probably we're not going to be told to give up our life in that tangible kind of way. And yet, maybe we will. I don't know what God has in store for us. But I do know this, like Father Damien, we are called to follow the example of our Savior, to reach out and touch those around us who need to experience God's love and grace in a practical way. We're called to lay our lives down, if that's what it takes, to show the world around us that our Savior lives. Like I said, it'd be great if everyone we touched would be healed, whatever they're struggling with. But we know that not everybody's problems are going to go away. But everyone does need to be loved. So as Jesus' followers, let's be people who look around us. You know, we are called to be people who go through life with our eyes open, looking for those who need someone to reach out and touch them with God's love and grace, looking for those who maybe need someone to point them to Jesus, who need an invitation, a smile, a hug, a friend. Who are we called to touch? Who do you think it is in your life that maybe God wants to use you to reach out and touch with his love? If someone comes to your mind, please act on that. Don't just forget about it when you walk out of here. Maybe it's a neighbor. Maybe it's somebody we work with. Maybe a family member. Maybe a classmate. Maybe it's a friend we've lost contact with. Maybe it's someone we don't even know yet. But sometime this week, Jesus is going to bring someone across our path that needs you to be Jesus in the flesh for them. Who are those that we need who need to experience the love and grace of Christ through us this week? When everybody else was running away, Jesus stepped toward. He reached out and he touched him. And we are called to do the same. May God give us ears to hear and eyes to see the needs of those around us. May he use us to be his hands and his feet to reach out and touch our world for him. Would you pray with me? Father, we read this story, we hear this message, and we know that in ourselves we feel so inadequate. We have our own brokenness, our own needs, our own struggles. We need your touch. And we thank you so much that your Spirit touches us and heals us and works through us, even though we are so far from perfect. Lord, in this story, may we be reminded that we can always come to you, that you will never turn us away. May we know that you understand the trials that we face. And Lord, this story also teaches us as your people part of what it means to follow you. It's not just about your power to heal, Lord, it's also about your heart for those who are hurting. Father, would you work in us that our hearts would also be broken by the needs of those around us. We see also this profound touch of Jesus, and we see your compassion and mercy and your love through it. Lord, a touch given to one considered untouchable. Lord, how that touch must have absolutely thrilled him. Lord, we thank you for the ways that you have touched us, for the love you have given to us. Lord, may your love and compassion lead us to do the same. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.